Welcome to Chapter 7 in the Service Marketing Series. In the Chapter 7, we will discuss the GAP model. GAP model, GAP here is difference between expected and actual. And that's what the GAP is, a gap between where you should be, where you are, or where you are expected to be and where you are. And this could be either from the customer's perspective, or it could be from the service provider's or the business's perspective. So the GAP model was introduced in 1985 by Persuraman. He was a researcher who introduced the GAP model in 1985, and he proposed it, which had seven different categories of gaps, as I said, between expected quality or asked quality to the actual quality. Now, the GAP model identifies the discrepancies or gaps, and hence it's called the GAP model. It's quite literal. It's the gap between perceived and actual. And perception seldom meets reality because it's intangible. As we've been speaking about, service in itself as a category is intangible and is based primarily on perceptions. So how courteous? Now, courteous is perception. So if you're going to judge how courteous was the airline staff, the airline crew, or the hotel staff, or the customer service rep, or the mall manager, when you reached out to them, being courteous is perception. My perception and your perception could be very different. Same is with tasty food. Now, what is tasty for you may not be tasty for me. It's perception. So service overall is driven by perceptions. Hence, there's always a gap between what's perceived and what's actual. So these gaps, hence, may have an impact on the service delivery. So let's discuss each of the seven gaps as proposed in the GAP model. First, as I said, there could be two major segments. One, from the perspective of the buyer, the user, or the customer. Second, from the perspective of the business itself, the service provider. So the customer perspective is the gap that is known as the customer gap, and the other, the gap from the service delivery perspective or from the business perspective, is known as the provider's gap. So anyways, in a service transaction, there are two entities involved, the buyer and the seller, the customer and the provider. Hence, there's one which is the customer or the buyer gap. The other is the seller or the provider's gap. Now, these gaps exist between various functions and departments in an organization. So there could be internal gaps. So between, for example, sales and delivery. Now, sales would have certain expectations when they pitch services to a customer. The service delivery team may have different perceptions of the same service. So the gap between the understanding of the sales teams and the delivery teams is an internal gap, because that gap exists within people and functions within the same organization. And this is quite common. Sales teams and marketing teams. Sales teams would have a different perception of who the target customer is. The marketing team would have a different perception. There's a gap in that understanding. These are internal gaps. And then there are gaps which are external, which are between the customer and the organization. So let's look at the seven different types of gaps as proposed in this GAP model in 1985. The first one is the knowledge gap. Now, this is the gap between customer expectation and the management perception. Now, why it is called the knowledge gap? It's knowledge gap because the management is unable to understand the customer expectations. The customer may expect, as I said, for example, courteous. Now, what is the manager's perception of being courteous? And what is the customer expectation of being courteous? These are very, very different. For example, let's talk about something that can be quantified. Now, we're talking about a resolution, right? Being responsive. So, a customer perception could be that when they send an email with a complaint, or when they raise a ticket, right? All apps and all service providers have an option where, as a customer, you could raise tickets. So complaint tickets. So suppose if a customer expectation If all customers put together, on an average, customers expect that every ticket should be resolved within 2 hours, depending upon the urgency of the request. But let's say, for example, that customers expect tickets or complaints to be resolved or at least responded to within the first 2 business hours. The management, however, feels that we'll be doing a great job if we are able to resolve issues within 24 hours. There's a gap. Customer expectation is resolved within 2 hours. Management says if we can resolve all issues within 1 business day, we're doing a great job. Now that's a knowledge gap. There's no clear definition, guideline of which is better, which is sufficient. Ideally, if you could resolve issue right when it is raised, that's the best case scenario. But that requires time, that requires resources, that requires cost and budget, and a lot of other technical facilities to be able to facilitate real-time resolution of customer issues. So how soon can you resolve? At the earliest. But at the earliest, again, is perception. For me, at the earliest should be 15 minutes. For you, at the earliest could be an hour. So here there's a gap. The management is not able to understand or quantify the actual customer expectation for the turnaround time to resolve complaints. Now that's the knowledge gap, because during their research, during the customer interactions, they were unable to quantify this difference and identify the knowledge gap between what they perceive as a good level of service and compared to what the customers expect to be a good level of service. We will move on to the second gap category, which is known as the standards gap. Now, the gap between service quality specification and management perception is known as the standards gap. Now, there are a lot of industries where you have service quality specifications. So there are research bodies, there are statutory organizations that do a lot of research for a particular industry, for a particular sector, and they develop these service quality specifications. Obviously, these are developed based on inputs from the customer, looking at past experiences. So they may recommend what's good for your industry, what's acceptable quality standard for your industry, for your service category. Now, if there is a gap between what's recommended as a gold standard for the industry and what the manager perceives, the management or the business owner perceives to be good quality, that's the standard gap. Then we have the delivery gap. So the gap between service quality specification and service delivery is the delivery gap. So for example, based on if you talk about, let's say, the e-commerce industry. Now, e-commerce industry, if you go on Amazon and if you today order something, now if you are a Prime member, if you're subscribed to a Prime membership, most of the goods could be delivered to you within 24 hours, depending upon the origin, the destination from where, the origin to the destination, the distance would actually determine the delivery time. But ideally, a lot of the categories, products are available to be delivered to Prime members within 24 hours. So since customers are used to shopping on Amazon and they've been getting their orders within 24 hours, it somehow becomes a service quality specification for anybody wanting to compete in the same space. Now, smaller e-commerce companies, for example, somebody who only sells kurtas online or somebody who only sells imitation jewelry online. So they have different standards because customer understands that these are small business owners who only provide one category of products. So customers don't compare them with an Amazon. But they'll compare maybe a Flipkart with an Amazon, a Snapdeal with an Amazon, and other such providers. So now the customer expects deliveries to happen within 24 hours. That somehow becomes the non-verbal service quality specification. So if you're not able to deliver within 24 hours, if you take 48 hours on an average to deliver, the delivery gap of 24 hours. So there's a gap between what's a standard service quality specification and what's the actual delivery. For example, food delivery. Let's say Swiggy ensures that you get your food on an average within 20 minutes. Zomato, for example, takes 28 minutes on average. So the customer who's been on Swiggy and now wants to maybe switch to Zomato for some other reason, that customer has a specification of 20 minutes or less, but Zomato is taking 28 minutes. There's an 8 minutes delivery gap. So that's what it is, a gap between a service quality specification and service delivery. That's the delivery gap. Then we have the fourth one, which is the internal communication gap. So the gap between service delivery and external communication. So what you communicate to the customer. So customer comes to your website and let's say they go on to, again, an e-commerce website, or suppose they go on to an aggregator or maybe a government website and they want to apply for a new passport, for example. So the passport department may have an online portal where you could go and you can apply for a new passport, which says that, okay, all new applications with all the procedures takes 14 business days. And that's the communication that's on the portal, on the website. But suppose for some reason you get your passport issued to you and it takes 45 days or even say 30 days. Communication was 14 days. It took 30 days and 45 days. That's a communication gap. Right, so gap between service delivery and external communication. Then you have the fifth one as the perception gap. That's the gap between the expected service and the experienced service. This is what we spoke about at the start of this lecture, this video, that what you expect as a customer and what you actually get from the company is the perception gap. I expect to walk into a resort at the start of my travel, and I expect to be greeted with a welcome drink, for example, because the last three times that I've been on vacation, I've always been greeted with a welcome drink, a complimentary welcome drink. So now that becomes an expected service for me, that every time I book a resort at a certain price and I walk into with my family or friends, they should greet me with a complimentary welcome drink and should offer me a comfortable seat while they complete the registration and the check-in process. That's an expected service. It's not a written rule, but as a customer, I've experienced that in the past. Now that's an expected level of service for me to judge all my future vacations and stays at different resorts and hotels. So if I walk into a new resort or a hotel for my fourth vacation and they do not offer me a complimentary welcome drink, that's a no for me. That's a defect for me. That's a bad experience for me. So what's the customer's expected service level and what was the actual delivery given to the customer? That's the perception gap, the difference, the gap between the expected levels of service and the experience level of service. That's the perception gap. Number six is the interpretation gap. So the interpretation gap is the gap between what the service provider's communication promises to the customer and what the customer thinks was promised in this communication. And this is interpretation. As I said, at the earliest. Now, at the earliest is something which is very subjective. At the earliest for me is different, for you is different. But that's not what you really mean here. Here you mean is that you've been able to or you wanted to communicate one thing, but the customer interprets it to be somebody else. A common example is the use of business days or business hours. For example, if I communicate to the customer on my website that all orders received by 5 p.m. On a particular day will be shipped by 9 a.m. the next morning. Now, the customer somehow interprets that all orders placed on a particular day will be dispatched by 9 a.m. the next morning. But they fail to recognize that as a business, I'm only talking about all orders received until 5 p.m. on a working day. Any order that comes to me at 5 a.m. or 5:30 p.m., I'm sorry, 5 p.m. or 5:30 p.m. or 9 p.m. or at midnight will not be dispatched at 9 a.m. the next morning. For me, that's the next business day. But for the customer, he's placed an order at 5:10 p.m. He expects it to be dispatched 9 a.m. the next morning. That's an interpretation gap. If I tell a customer that every Customer complaint will be resolved within 2 business hours. The customer somehow interprets it to be 2 hours. A lot of people don't understand business hours or working hours. But business hours are, for example, 9 to 6 for my business. So if I receive a complaint at 3 p.m., I'll ensure it gets resolved by 5 p.m. But if I receive a complaint at 5:30 p.m., so I have 2 business hours, which is until 6 p.m. this day, and if my business starts at 9 until 10:30 a.m. the next day. So I can resolve a customer query received at 5:30 p.m. on a particular day by 10:30 a.m. the next working day, and I am still resolving it within 2 business hours. And these 2 days could be a weekend apart. I'm still meeting my commitment to the customer. But for the customer, that could be more than a day or more than 2 days in case of a holiday or a weekend. And that's the interpretation gap. And this is quite common, a bone of contention between customers and providers. So it's important to be very clear when you communicate something to the customer. And then we move on to the final one, which is the service gap. The service gap is the difference between what the customer expects to receive and what their perception of a service that is delivered. So this is where a customer expected something to be delivered and what the customer thinks about what was delivered. So again, it's not about the actual service. It's what the customer thought he or she would receive and what they think about what they received. This could be true for product as well. You may order something online or maybe a particular shade of red. Now, what you expect and what you get could be very different, because what you see on a computer screen on your smartphone, the color could look quite different on the actual physical product. There'll always be that perception mismatch. But this is a service gap in terms of product, in terms of service as well. When the customer maybe books a high-speed internet connection, he may, and you may have promised that, okay, we give you maybe 6 Mbps, 12 Mbps. The customer may be expecting it to be 12 Mbps throughout the day. That may not actually happen. Or even if you're giving it 12 Mbps, the customer may think that, okay, it's slow. Maybe when he's browsing something, he thinks, okay, it's slow. It could be slow because of some other issues, but the customer perceives that the actual service quality is not what he or she expected. Now that's the service gap. So all these 7 category of gaps are prevalent, are common, and what the impact is the customer's overall perception about how satisfied or dissatisfied is he or she with the service that your company delivers after the purchase. This defines reliability and assurance of the company, and this hence influences repeat purchases, positive or negative word of mouth publicity that a customer could create about the company. So as in 1985, Perseraman proposed these 7 gaps in the gap model. It's quite relevant even today. If you're able to understand and then accordingly check for possible gaps in your service delivery, right from planning to communication to final delivery, you'll be able to fill up more than one of these and create a more positive, enriching experience for your customers. Thank you very much.